Thanks for joining us for The Hope Dealer. Every week, we'll take you behind the scenes of street ministry, sharing stories from Salem and beyond, talking about faith in action, and exploring what it really looks like to love people who are often overlooked or forgotten. Matt Massera has dedicated his life to meeting people where they are and pointing them to Jesus Christ. Matt reminds us that no one is beyond hope. This is The Hope Dealer. Welcome, everybody, to The Hope Dealer with Matt Massera. Matt, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Glad to be here.
So last time we talked a little bit about your childhood and your life before, and you were very frank and very open with that, and then the transition to where you are now. And I want to talk about that middle time. You were saved 27.
I was saved just a little over, about 21 plus years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that middle time because, you know, I think most people, it's not like a bolt of lightning and all of a sudden you're it's a process.
Yeah.
So let's dig into a little bit about that 10 years of your life, what that was like.
Yeah, because it's crazy because 10 years of that, I'm still in the drug world. Saved. I meet God as a drug dealer, a drug user. Somebody's manufacturing poison, involved in criminality and gang life. Mm-hmm. So I meet God then. He always knew me. So for 10 years, yeah. I continued, except I start to experience godly sorrow that leads to repentance. I feel guilt over these terrible things that I've been doing for so long.
Yeah, for most of your life up until that point, and you went into great detail about that. And so what was that like, all of a sudden starting to feel guilt for the things you had done?
Oh, it was terrible. I hated it.
Yeah.
You know, because who wants to have any accountability? You know, I'm like, I'm living a life where I can't feel bad about what I'm doing. This makes me a target,
mm-hmm.
you know, for people to come at me. I cannot feel any sorrow. I can't feel any guilt. I can't have any emotions about this stuff that I'm doing, because then you just become a mark, somebody that other people are going to look at, you know.
So that hardening is self-protection for you.
And it's just part of that world.
Yeah.
You know, soft people don't survive in that world.
No.
And so, but I'm saved now and I'm crying and I can't stop bawling over stuff that never affected me. So yeah. I call Matt, Pastor Matt, and I'm going, at that time he wasn't. And he goes, I said, can you please come over? I can't stop. I'm crying loud. And he's like, what's wrong? I don't know. Can you please come over? And he comes over and he's talking to me and he just embraced me as family, as a brother in Christ. And he's like, no, this is a good thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is a good thing. This makes me a target in the world I live in. And he goes, no, this is godly sorrow that's leading to repentance. This is another proof of your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, this is terrible. And things got really, really rough after I got saved. Because then I've got this internal battle now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have the Holy Spirit in me and I'm still, you know, being evil.
And you're still in that world.
Yeah. So I experienced God's jealousy over his Spirit that he made to dwell within me. I grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit. It was absolutely terrible. The suffering I went through was all self-inflicted because I get saved and I'm still selfish. The process mm-hmm. of sanctification had started, mm-hmm. but I'm still this person, you know, and I need somebody to teach me how to follow Jesus Christ. And so that was Matt and multiple other people, Pastor Justin and other folks for me at Salem Heights Church.
Mm-hmm.
But the next 10 years was exceptionally difficult. And it was not easy. And ultimately, I was humbled because I was so mm-hmm. prideful, so arrogant
mm-hmm.
That it was going to take nothing less than that, because I'm just pushing back against the God of all creation. Like, I'm saved, but I'm going, his will for me is over here, and I'm still in the center of my will. And there was no peace. There was no joy. There was no fulfillment. There was no satisfaction. I was ill content. I was anxious. It was just constant stress because I'm in the midst of all this habitual sin. And I'm so thankful that, you know, God would never allow somebody to be saved and be in the midst of what I was in and be content, you know, and I'm just going, eventually it was like, okay, Lord.
Surrender.
Yeah. You got to do it. And so we're, you know.
But that was part of the process.
to get there. So 10 years. So, I mean, can you give us like a little insight in were you working? What was your life like at that time? Other than you were still in the violent, horrible, evil side of things, but.
Yeah. So I'd had an on the job injury and, you know, that turned into another portion of another track of addiction, you know, narcotic pain medication, lots of opiates. Ugh. And so I'm eating those and I'm still dealing meth and I've got this business, you know, I had my tobacco distribution license from the ATF. So was you know, buying and bringing in cigars from Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, okay. Honduras, and hand carved briar pipes from Europe. And, but it coalesced with the criminal enterprises. So kept doing all of that. And inevitably God's like got me on this trajectory and that's all going to have to stop.
All of it.
Yeah. And it does, you know, eventually. But it took me, you know, there was a lot of, I kept pushing back against him. And he kept, like, doing what only he could do. And I'm going, and I almost get in all these accidents. Like, I'm going down into the trees by Willamina, and I'm going to die. I'm in a Eurosport Celica, and this thing, I'm just going to be shredded. And I'm going, and I hit this stupid little mile marker. This is just one of the examples of what God, like, showing me in the middle of that 10 years. And it just did that.
And
like, I'm going into the trees and I'm on the other side and the car, it was crazy. There was people behind me and they stopped and they go, we have no clue how that just happened. Cause I'm on the decline. I'm off the freeway, you know, the Willamina turnaround, like, or like where you're going to go to, you know, Sheridan and right there by the little, and I'm like this. So the back end is going into the trees. The front end hits this little mile marker and doesn't just blow it over. Just tilts it and that spins me back up the embankment and into the freeway facing back towards Salem.
And so witnesses are like, what just happened here?
Yeah. You get out and I'm going, okay, I guess I'm going home. And so I go home, but then I go back 2 weeks later and then I had this intense injury. I just kept pushing back against all of it. God's like, I'm giving you all these opportunities. There's a way of escape. You're my son now. I'm going to finish everything I started. this would be really hard for you. Like, you know, and like, even we see that in David and all these people in scripture, you know, they were saved, but they fought back against God and they produced the results of that disobedience. It was terrible. And, but yeah, it was really rough and it ended up being homeless. I lost everything because I wouldn't stop. Pursuing my will over God's will and ended up being on the streets with the flesh rotting off my feet. And that's what I tell people. I said, isn't it so sad that like it starts to rot off like, and I have to scrape the dead tissue off so that it doesn't get gangrenous. Like, and the socks are growing to my feet.
Yeah.
And it's really intense and I smell like a corpse. I'm super disheveled. I know my life is a mess. I would take like maybe a few showers a year. I know I'm a mess, but I'm saved. I actually have everything. I'm just not walking in the newness of life. Mm-hmm. And I would remember looking at my feet and it wasn't when it started, that wasn't enough. So I got to see that for years.
So you were like, you were that way for years.
Yeah. Yeah. To the point of getting some bone exposure and I'm just scraping rotting tissue. And I'm like, and the whole time I'm a child of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm an heir to the king. I'm one who has overwhelmingly conquered. God sees me through the lenses of his son. I'm just not a Holy Spirit led man. I'm saved, but I'm in the flesh.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it'll be a bunch of, you know, over... Been walking with him for over 11 years now, but you know, it was just a moment in a bathroom after I crawled into, like I broke into my mom's apartment, crawled over the air conditioner, went into the bathroom and at midnight, I've got this pop can upside down because I went to buy some meth and I open it up and it goes in. I'm like, oh, that's rock salt. And I spent $20 on this. And then there's this time where I had hundreds of thousands of dollars and I'm just spending them like, you know, spending money like water flowing from a faucet. And I go from that to being this complete junkie. had all this stuff, the BMW that I paid cash for, all the stuff everybody wants, right?
Right. You had
bought all the game systems, yeah, for my kids. Yeah, and this guy, people are going, this guy's got it all figured out. I remember going to Chamber of Commerce meetings down at jewelry shops down in downtown Salem, and I'm a straight up criminal. I'm a drug dealer. People go, wow, you've got everything. And I'm going, you don't, like, you know, you've drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You drank the Kool-Aid. You know, I sold you Blue Sky and you bought it. And I lose everything.
Yeah.
And it was all self-inflicted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I asked God to forgive me. I'm sitting there and I'm going, God, you got to do this. And my mind's still not right.
And this was in your mom's bathroom that night.
That night. And so I called Matt and I was like, I don't even know what this looks like, but I'm going to be at the Most Excellent Way on Monday. I'm all in. And all in was my mind's still not right because I've been using methamphetamine every day for a long time, shooting it up, smoking it, snorting it, and all other substances, opiates. And so I go and my mind's still not right. So I go to group with needles in my pocket and methamphetamine. And I'm going to be able to do a shot after each group Monday night. That's my... You know, that's my process. I got it all figured out.
Yeah. Master manipulator.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, and I'm so grateful that God wasn't going to allow me to continue that. It really was like, this is like, Matthew, this is serious. I've created you for something really specific and it's for my glory. And it's my best for you. And I just keep doing my best.
Mm-hmm.
And then I overdosed. My last overdose was April 5th, 11 years ago, this last April 5th. And I broke into my mom's place again, and I'm in her front room. And this comes to the conclusion of the 10 years of disobedience. And there's so much in between all that. And as soon as the dope hits my heart, I did more than what I was using, and I had about 5 weeks clean. And as soon as it hit my heart, I'm like, oh no, you are going to die. Your heart's going to give up. And all I could think, my kids, I'm like, wow, this is what my kids are going to remember. I pull the needle out and I throw it across the room because if I'm going to die, that's not going to be in my arm. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going, God, help me. And I start bawling and I begged him. And it is that scripture where it says, you know, turn your laughter into like where you're laughing, but it's, you know, you turn into crying and you're sorrowful. And I begged him. I said, I keep proving what my best is. You got to do it. You can't leave a portion of this for me to figure out. I'm all in and I need your help. And so I went to the throne room of grace and God showed me mercy and grace and my help and my time of need. And I could say it now, you know what my time of need is? Always. I need my Lord and Savior more now than when I showed up here today, and it's ever increasing moment by moment, and he freed me. Never looked back.
Yeah.
Never looked back.
So through all of this, he's also putting people in your life.
Lots.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit, you talked about Matt.
Yeah.
And there was another one. Were there any people in particular who walked with you during that time?
Yeah.
All the way through?
Pastor Matt, he's been there for over 30 years. You know, when I was going to kill the senior pastor's son at Salem Heights Church, was going to stab him. You know, he was there for all of that and just continued to show up and speak truth and love to me, held me accountable, loved me enough. Like, hey, you should take responsibility for this. And then I had a choice whether I was going to or not. Right. Mm-hmm. But he loved me. He's actually always loved me. And it does it like, which is amazing to me that people actually love me. And then I actually love people. So he was one of them for sure. And Pastor Justin, like he's the one that baptized my brother, all these great men of faith and people that continued to encourage me. And there's these just immense amount of senior saints that have been praying for me for 3 decades. Like folks that are on in years in faith and they're way closer to being with the Lord.
Mm-hmm,
we've been praying for you for 25 years. I'm just going, please don't ever stop.
Yeah.
Thank God for your life because the prayers of the righteous have been answered and I get to live out the life that God always intended for me. And there's tons of people like in my life now and like in the ministry, people, all kinds of retired gangsters And then there's people like aerospace engineers, you know, like, so these people, like, you got this aerospace engineer, and then you got this guy that was, you know, former this, former that, you know, killers and cutthroats, you know, with teachers and, you know, professors. And yeah, it's just, it's amazing. And only God could do it. I mean, that's why I know that nobody is too far gone, and he is truly the only answer to the sin problem that every human being has. The world is not going to be able to solve the sin problem, but God sent his son to do that. And so we actually have the only solution to the source of everything wrong with the world. Because when you see somebody like me or anybody else get saved, somebody teaches them to follow Jesus, they're making a disciple of Jesus Christ, then the gang life goes off. The lying, the manipulation, the violence, the, you know, the criminality, you know, but it, no matter what somebody's life looked like before Christ, we're all headed to the same place. So we're just as lost.
Right.
What their sin looks different than mine, but there is no, you know, yeah.
I think it's, again, it's very powerful to hear those stories. And I think for a lot of people who think it's just a switch or something, and it just, it instantly happens, that there is a process, and to know that and to hear that, but to know, and I love that the elder saints that were praying for you for 20, I always think of the grandmothers who pray for their grandsons forever and ever and ever. And sometimes it does take 25 years, 30 years.
Yeah.
God bless them. They're patient.
Yeah. Amen. Macrothumio, long suffering. Yep. I'm so grateful for them. And now I get to live a life and I get to reach the world. You know, God sent me all over the world. Less than a year clean and sober, I'm preparing to go to Africa. That door closed, and he ended up putting me on the island of Haiti. And I'm in the middle of the jungle sharing my testimony and sharing the gospel and seeing people say yes to the free gift of salvation. Wow. You know, and then down into the Navajo reservation and all over this state and all over this nation, and then to Peru and then Brazil and, like, you know, just India, the Philippines a bunch, Costa Rica, Argentina, Brazil, some of the hardest communities on the planet, and all over the states, you know, all over. So 365 mission trips a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually there comes a year that, unless I pass, you know, at the end of the year on the exact date, there, you know, eventually there's a year where I don't get 365 days. And that's the day I get to go home. And until then, I know exactly why I'm living. It's for the advancement of the gospel of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Matt, the bulk of your work is in Salem, but talk to us a little bit about, because you founded Bebold Street Ministries. So let's get into that with the remaining time that we have left, a little bit of the genesis of that, how that all started.
Yeah, so it was about 14 days after my last overdose. So God literally set me free, and I still have fresh track marks that have not healed all over. And he sends me back to the streets, the same places. And I was talking to Pastor Matt. It was awesome. He just shared it at one of our fundraisers. He's like, you know, hey, what do you, I've been talking to him, like, what do you think about me going back and giving bottles of water, taking them out to some of the places that I used to poison people with deadly substances. He's like, yeah, society's thankful. Please do that. And I'm sharing the gospel. And so I tell him, like, sharing the gospel, I'm going to say, hey, this is, you're going to thirst of this water again, but Jesus is offering you living water that you'll never thirst of again. I interacted with 168 different people that day, had to go get more water at, you know, at the store right downtown. And it started with the gospel, you know, and it's continuing with the gospel. The mission is God's. It has not changed. The vision is his. It's found in scripture. He desires that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. And how we do it is found in scripture. And so that makes it really safe, because it wasn't up to us to cobble anything together. Yeah. Like, you want to try to recreate a perfect wheel. And so, and in that time, through especially face-to-face and then our, you know, social media presence, he's allotted us the ability to reach over 1/8 the world population in over 11 years.
1/8 of the world's population.
Yeah, more than a billion people.
Wow.
Face-to-face and then through social media platforms and seen, you know, well over 200,000 people believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation, the forgiveness of their own sins. I mean, last year was over 53,000 people just last year. And so hundreds of thousands of people that God is saving, he saves people, we save zero people. It's all about what he said he'll do with his word when we, and we ask the question, today, do you believe? Because God created another day. And so, yeah, we're focused on what's important to God by way of the Holy Spirit. And that, I mean, that's really the foundation. And we're continuing to move forward in faith. And there's a lot of what that looks like,
yeah,
you know, within the daily ministry. But yeah, lots of ministry here in Oregon and Salem. Salem is home. So, and on a plane, you know, 3 to 5 times a year.
Yeah, you and your social media is very active. You've got a lot of information out there, and you post a lot. I'm just out of curiosity. You said it was 14 days after your last overdose, and did you run into people you knew out there?
Yeah, and
how was that?
Well, it was crazy because some people are like, "There's no way," and then
they didn't believe it.
Yeah, and I said, and people are like, "We're watching you," and I said, "Please watch my life, and the genuineness of what I'm sharing with you is going to be proven out over time because it was wisdom for people to not trust me."
Yeah. Yeah.
It was wisdom. And the genuineness of what was being shared was proven out over time by way of the Holy Spirit. And so.
Well, people in the life also, I mean, if you were a master manipulator, they're master manipulators. And so they will see through fakery and phoniness right away. So words are great, but it does have to be actions and deeds.
Yeah, because if the words don't match the actions, you just where the truth is found is in what somebody's doing, their actions. Yeah, look to what they're doing.
So I imagine a lot of people that first time, but over time, and then are many of them now in the ministry with you, working with you, or I was just
there yeah. are some, and then we've seen a bunch of those
not
folks
all,
get saved,
yeah.
which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and then I've been able to ask a lot of people that are still around, please forgive me for hurting you. You know, and then watch people crying on the way into Winco. This guy that, I mean, he doesn't physically look the same, scarred his face up forever. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help but cry. I said, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I hurt you. Please forgive me. And he's like, man, I've been hearing about what's been happening in your life. And just to let you know, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I forgive you.
Oh, man.
And he'll never look the same because of what I did to him. And I don't walk in the shame and the guilt of that anymore, but this is appropriate. Tears are the response. And it was just his embrace of family. That's my brother in Christ, and I'm his brother, you know, and we're going to be with each other forever. And just to, you know, and then there's other people that, you know, forgiveness hasn't been given. And I have no expectation of expecting it. You know, please forgive me. I'm sorry.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Love wow. to it.
Well, as always, Matt, incredible talking with you. That's all the time we have for this episode, unfortunately. So as we say goodbye, remember, until next time, be generous with your kindness, bold in your faith, and never stop dealing hope. Matt Massara, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Remember, hope isn't found in circumstances. It isn't found in government, politics, or possessions. Real hope is found in Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us for The Hope Dealer. We'll see you next time as we continue sharing stories of lives changed through faith and the power of God's love. Until next time, be generous with your kindness, bold in your faith, and never stop dealing hope.